We are live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchell. How are you doing this week, Seth?
I've had better weeks. How about you?
No, seriously. I mean, doing okay considering the state of this corona crisis going on. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately, that's what drove most of our coverage this week. It's the situation around the coronavirus, how that is affecting the industry, how it's affecting Tesla and other electric automakers. So let's start with that. I think that's probably what makes the most sense. Oh, I didn't add that article. That's the first one I wanted to start with, and I didn't add it to the
we can do it later.
Schedule for the show, but most automakers in the U.S. really and all around the world have announced the shutdowns of the factory temporarily in order to that's the term that people are using to flatten the curve of the progression of the transmission of the coronavirus. That's affected literally every automakers in the world. Now, most of our coverage revolved around Tesla because Tesla tried to stay open as long as they could. And actually, they're still open right now. Fremont factory is still operating until end of the day on the 23rd of March, which is Monday, I think. Mm-hmm. So we can go a little bit into the whole thing, but I'm not sure if it's worth getting into it too much, because at the end of the day, that's what happened. Like, now the result is Tesla's going to mostly shut down, like reduce greatly the operation at Fremont factory on by the end of the day on the 23rd. No more car production there. Similar thing happening in Gigafactory New York for the solar roof tiles and the other products that they're making there, including Supercharger V3 and whatnot. Gigafactory, Tesla said that it would keep going production at Gigafactory Nevada. So where they're making the batteries and the power to the battery packs and the drive unit for the Model 3 and Model Y. Though sources at the factory told Electrek today that even though they are still operating, it's production is much lower. And of course, that makes sense if they're planning on not being able to produce cars in Fremont starting on Monday. They're just not going to produce a ton of battery packs for it when they cannot put them in cars. So they already lowered production. A lot of people are being sent home to, like, they're not working at the plant. The good news, though, is that they are actually going to use that downtime at Gigafactory Nevada to increase production capacity. So they're going to do production line upgrades, make them more efficient, have an higher output. So when they do start production back at Fremont factory, more powertrains are going to be coming out from Gigafactory Nevada. At the same time, Fremont factory is going to see some of those similar upgrades too. So Tesla just started Model Y production. We don't have a clear idea of what kind of volume Tesla is at for the Model Y right now. We do see them ship out, well, at least until very recently, hundreds of Model Y a week from the factory. So we assume that the production capacity is around that level. Of course, Tesla wants that to 1,000 in just a few months, and of course much more than that by the end of the year. So they're gonna have to have significant upgrade there. And a source familiar with the plan for ramping up Model Y production told Electrek that they're gonna use, Seth, do you remember the famous tent?
Yes.
The Model 3, what was it? It's the assembly line number 4.
Yep.
I think assembly line number 4 that was underneath this tent that drew a lot of criticism and ridicule, really, especially from the Tesla short saying, oh, Tesla is now down to using tents to build their cars. But I mean, when they say tents, it's actually called a sprung structure. So I guess it's technically a tent, but it's much more permanent, really, than your average tent. And a source familiar with the Model Y plans says that Tesla is planning a similar project for ramping up Model Y production. So they're going to try to replicate what they did with the assembly line number 4 from Model 3, which I think is still the highest volume one, maybe, like, or per at least per capita invested per
it was at one time
capital expenditure. Yeah,
they were quite happy with their tent, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think they would do it again if it didn't show good results.
Exactly. So they're trying to replicate that Formula Y. I want to say that the assembly line alone under the tent was producing like 2,000 Model 3s a week or something like that.
Yeah, it was like the equivalent of the other two combined.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's going to be the same volume for the Model Y. We don't know exactly what size the tent is going to be. But we did dig up some building permit application for Tesla Fremont factory, and they are planning a significant expansion. They submitted plans for new foundations, and so there's going to be new buildings ready to produce those cars. But yeah, so that's the status of what's happening right now due to the shutdowns and everything. So do you want us to get into the shutdowns came to happen and like Tesla fighting it?
Well, I mean, we should talk about it. Should we get into that? Two sides of the coin. Yep. Like on one side, you know, Tesla has been through this in China. You know, the Gigafactory Shanghai was closed down and it reopened and they do testing. So Tesla as a company has some history with this. So they have a little bit of knowledge there. That being said, the external factors are a little bit different. China was like military authoritarian, checking everybody, going, you know, finding the people who are out there, rounding people up. In the US, you can't even get a test, let alone, you know, being like forcefully tested or whatever. So anybody can walk around with it. Nobody cares. Tesla was checking temperatures at the Fremont factory and having people wear masks, but you know, the kind of the common medical
that was starting on Wednesday, I think, Wednesday. If I remember.
They said, I mean, there's been Wednesday. No confirmed cases at the Gigafactory, but you know, I don't think they would publicize that if there were.
You said that earlier this week to me, and I find that hard to believe because it would easily come out, right? Like later on, like the people affected could bring that up fairly easily, and that would be a PR nightmare for Tesla if Tesla hid the fact they had positive cases.
Hiding it and not reporting it, or reporting it late, are two different things. I mean, are they required to report it? I don't know.
I don't know the details on that front, but I feel like that would be such a mess to do that. Not worth it.
Yeah. Really. So I mean, there's definitely two sides to the coin. I mean, you know, as Tesla fans and investors, sometimes like we want them to be able to produce as many vehicles as possible, but like putting people at a health risk, workers, and you know, the community at large, really, and everybody, it does seem a little bit greedy to do that. So I don't know. There's two sides to the coin, I think.
Yeah. So the little bit of chronology here, what happened is it was on Monday that the Bay Area announced what they call a shelter in place, which basically forced every non-essential business to stop operating and people to stay at home for anything other than essential groceries and things like that to go out. Unless other than that, you need to stay at home. So everyone assumed that that would mean that Tesla factory would need to shut down because making cars didn't obviously seem to be an essential business. However, Tesla used, instead of using the county's description of what would an essential business would be, they went with the federal government's description of a national critical infrastructure, and a car factory would fit into that. So they used that, and they said they don't need to shut down for that. But then the sheriff's department, the next day, once they saw that Tesla was still operating, they said that no, it shouldn't be considered an essential business. They need to shut down. And then it created this negotiation process between the county and Tesla, which on Wednesday led to apparently some kind of a deal, at least if you believe what the county said, the county sheriff's office, that Tesla would operate with a quarter of their force at the workforce at the factory, which would be 2,500 people instead of 10,000. which is still a decent size workforce. Like you could probably build some cars with that. However, we got an email from Tesla's HR. Well, we got Tesla's HR sent an email to employees there, and we got we obtained that email, and that email said that this report from the county was false. They didn't agree to cut the workforce, and everyone was still expected to show up to work unless you are considered non-essential, so you can work from home, or you're sick, of course, you don't show up. So then that created a lot of confusion. All right, so Tesla seems to just go ahead and move forward with completely disregarding the orders from on the county level, at least. But then the Fremont police got involved and said, are we going to intervene and enforce the county order if Tesla doesn't do anything? And that probably was what put enough pressure on Tesla to announce on... last night they announced the closure of the factory starting on Monday. And of course, throughout that, you could drag in your feet, if you will, in order to gain a few more days of production. Elon Musk was extremely talkative on Twitter about his view of the coronavirus situation and how he doesn't think it's going to go... gonna be as widespread as most other models are trying to put right now out there. Like, what was the latest that came today? Something like 50% of people was gonna get it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on which thing you're
56%.
Oh, it depends on which model you're looking at. There's quite a few out there, and some are saying.
It was California. Uh-huh. It was California.
So California said what, 1 million people were gonna get it.
No, 50, like something like 56% of okay. people, something like that.
So, you know, like this is one of those times where you're kind of like, Elon, just stay off Twitter, mm-hmm. Tweet some memes, some Martian stuff or whatever. Like, just stay out of the medical thing. Like, you're out of your element, those kind of things.
Yeah, but that's the same thing that a lot of people said to him about cars, said to him about SpaceX, space. So you cannot tell that to him.
School kids stuck in a cave.
Yeah, that too. So it doesn't work. You cannot tell him that. Like that would go over his head. But and this also doesn't necessarily mean that he's wrong. From your side of the argument, the argument that I get is the risk reward thing. Like so. In the rare, if he is wrong, then is it worth the risk to take his course of action? Really, would be I think Elon still, to be fair to him, he still believes in all the social distancing argument, all except like shutting down businesses, which is he doesn't think it's worth it. I don't know. This whole situation
it's a very weird,
strange.
I mean, we have no precedent, so we're kind of like, how does this work?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Elon feels pretty confident about his ideas. So I just wish, we could kind of separate the, Tesla SpaceX CEO role from the, I have these ideas kind of person. Because, if you're worried about EVs in the long run, you kind of don't want him to get in trouble for saying these other things. So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't think he would get in trouble or anything like that from these statements. But, if it turns out that it's as bad as some of the worst case scenario that people are talking about, then, yeah, he will look very foolish to have said those things. But, personally, I like a lot of the numbers we're seeing right now. So I think it's going to calm down a little bit. But then at the same time, one of the reasons it might actually calm down is because we are doing all those shutdowns and everything, which Elon right. didn't want to do. So he cannot at the same time, like if everything comes down in 2 weeks and he goes, yeah, you see, I told you, like it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, but
right.
we did things that you didn't want to do, and that helped flatten the curve.
There's probably a German word for that. That like you were right those because other people didn't do what you said. I will say I am a little bit tainted by this because one, I'm in New York and it feels like Wuhan right mm-hmm. now. And even I'm kind of feeling sick, so who knows? And the other thing is, like, I don't know that we're all going to, like, I kind of feel like this isn't going to be a quick, you know, he said April 1st or something, or it's going to be by the end of April, there's not going to be any new cases in the U.S. That seems pretty optimistic, considering we're just, like, on this part of the slope right now, going straight up. I would like it to be true, but I don't know. He's falling a little bit close to where Trump was at the beginning of this thing, and that's never a good sign.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I think if you look at Trump's chronology of statements on coronavirus, it went from hoax to national crisis pretty quick. So that's another level completely. But yeah, I guess it's going to be a wait and see situation. But of course, we recommend everyone to follow the social distancing thing and to stay safe, because it's all we can do, really. And maybe don't go crazy with all the stockpiling on stuff. I mean, that all, like, stockpiling on toilet paper and whatnot. Like, come on, we're better than that.
Right.
Like, they're not going to shut down those factories. They're not going to, all the food industry is not going to shut down. That's going to keep going for sure. So if everybody keeps buying, like, normal amounts of food, then everybody's going to still have food for a while. But if people are stockpiling, then other people are not getting food. That's just awful situation. Like, just an individualist mentality that makes no sense to me. But anyway. All right, let's move on. So to some other, it's still going to be coronavirus related, unfortunately. And I know people are probably sick of hearing that. But Tesla did take some other measures to at least try to operate more safely within the current crisis. We've heard about this no-touch service thing. We heard from it from Montreal. It started with Montreal's Tesla service center, but apparently they expanded that, and a lot of other, it might even be like a standard procedure now at Tesla, which makes sense. So Tesla is leveraging their existing fleet of mobile service technician. Which at one, I don't think they're still known like that anymore, but at one point they were known as Rangers, which I think is a lot cooler, right? you want to be a Tesla Ranger, you don't want to be a Tesla service technician, mobile technician. So these Tesla Rangers now, they come to your car. So that's the big advantage, of course. So you can be at work, you can be at home, and they're going to service your car. They can do like 80% of some of the most common repair and maintenance procedures that you need on your car. But now they do it without you even needed to have any interaction with them. So they text you once they arrive, and you just go into your app, unlock the car. Once the car is unlocked, they get in, they do what they need to do. Once it's done, they text you the result, whatever they did, if they need to do anything more, anything like that. And then you pay through the app or by phone. And that's done. So no need to have any interaction with them. So, I mean, it's not going to be the thing that stops the virus really from spreading, but it's still a good procedure. Same thing with cells. Those cells is going to be a lot more difficult in North America right now. Because
touchless deliveries now?
Yeah, touchless home delivery, so something similar, but also still at delivery centers. They just want to limit the number of the people at the delivery centers, but they can still show up. They give you your paperwork, you do that, and then they just give you the key, and they don't get in the car with you to show you things or anything like that, like they used to, since two people inside the car would go against the social distancing measures. But yeah, there's even no Copilot test drive, so now if you find a Tesla store that's still open, because of course a lot of them are closing now, and you ask for a test drive, they will just give you the keys, and you get the car for whatever how long they say, and you don't have a Tesla representative going with you in the car and teaching you about the functions. I know that Tesla did that in China pretty quick when the crisis happened there, and they also pull up all the videos in the car, like their demo mode, basically had all the videos showing on the center screen that show you how the car works, so you don't need an actual representative there. I don't know if they did that in the US yet, because they do have those videos already, so just need a way to quickly prompt them up into the screen so that the prospective buyer doesn't have to go into the settings and do the owner's manual videos and all that. But it's all accessible within the car now, which is nice. All right, where are we at? Inventory cars. All right, so this is a something that I just posted, I mean, not even an hour ago. So if you guys are familiar or not familiar with Tesla's business model, of course, it's widely different from most of the automakers where they don't have third-party dealerships. So they own the car all the way until the customers take delivery of it. And that's a financial strain because you cannot just unload a bunch of cars to a dealership. We then has the responsibility. Though, of course, dealership, like a Ford dealership doesn't own the entire inventory on their lot. Like that's millions of dollars and so they don't still have that. Like the banks owns them really for that period of time that is on the lot. But anyway, for Tesla is different. They don't have those dealers. They don't have those deals with the bank and the dealers. So they have to deliver that car as fast as possible. So they don't like to have a lot of inventory on hand. And the way it works with Tesla's gradual quarterly sales and deliveries and production, they do this batch production where a batch will go for a specific market for China, for Europe. And then they do like custom orders from the US and from Canada and whatever. But then at the end of the quarter, what they like to do is they switch the production to inventory cars for the North American market because those are the fastest cars they can deliver. Factories in California, you deliver the cars, they are anywhere in North America within a few days. And you can get, once the car's in inventory, you can get it to anyone that just walking into a store really can get it pretty fast. And that's what you want to boost your quarterly numbers. And Tesla has been known to do that. We call it the end of quarter push. And they've been quite a crazy, like it's been normal for Tesla to be like at 70, 80% of their delivery goal within a few weeks of the quarter ending, and then they would just the sales team in North America would just go at it and sell those cars as fast as possible. But to do that, of course, they rely on foot traffic into the stores, which are again non-existent at this point. They rely also on just their general marketing tool like referral programs and whatever. So that's still good right now, but the operation, it's not just a problem with Tesla's operation being limited, of course. I think there's just a broader market slowdown with, I think they declared a recession yesterday, right? Officially, like some of the banks.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you look at the employment numbers, we're already like at the worst part of the recession, you know, the last one. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people are just not buying cars in this financial context right now. So, that is not helping Tesla. So what we just reported today is Tesla is now has like thousands of inventory cars that are starting to show up in their system. So that's the other thing too that some people don't know. At the end of every quarter, those cars don't always show up on Tesla's website as inventory because they are in Tesla's system always, but they don't necessarily show up on the customer front end side of the website where it, just the salespeople at Tesla are responsible to matching them to orders that come in all the time. So they don't really end up on the front end side. So it's one of the rare time right now you can go on Tesla's website, enter virtually any postal code, zip code, and you'll find a ton of inventory in your region for Model 3s, Model S, and Model X. So, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think it might actually be a good thing long-term and can change at least a little bit Tesla's business model on that front because I know that Elon's been talking for a while now to try to stop those end-of-quarter push and make it more consistent sell throughout the quarter, but it has never worked. And part of that is because they sometimes they literally finish their quarter and have no inventory at all or barely any in most market. So you end up with like no test cars, no test drive cars, and some display models are gone, things like that that affects your operation, your sales operation. Now on the other end, Tesla is going to enter the next quarter with probably thousands of cars in inventory ready for sale. of course, within the context, again, that sales are probably going to be low for a while. And then production might actually be up, because I don't think that they're going to force a shutdown on Tesla for more than, what, 2 weeks, maybe?
I don't know. I have
no idea.
You agree
on that?
Like,
no.
Yeah. I don't think it's...
Gigafactory Shanghai came back up super quick. Like, I don't think it was down for a week.
But, and
part of it was part of the Chinese New Year.
China and the U.S. are different. They're handling it differently. So, maybe, hopefully, 2 weeks.
Personally, I doubt it's going to be more than 2 weeks. Then I think production can actually be up, at least if they wanted to, with the increase that they're planning now, especially with when it comes to Model Y. So Tesla's going to have higher production, most likely lower sales, and already thousands of cars in inventory. So I think that's going to change the entire, not to be too on the nose, but it's literally going to flatten the curve of Tesla's quarterly sales, where it won't just spike up at the end like it always do, like an exponential growth. It will be more like a little bump that's more normal. And that's good in my opinion, like, because it's a more stable business model than just killing all your employees at the end of each quarter.
Yeah.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, end of the quarter, the end of the quarter stuff has always been kind of an issue. Like, and every end of the quarter, they're always like, "We're not doing this again." But at the end of every quarter, they're doing it. So,
yeah, I remember when I first started at Electrek, like 2015. That was something that Elon mentioned. Like, oh, we should probably try to find ways to stop doing that. And 5 years later, still hasn't happened. All right, Tesla, something more fun now. Let's move on to something more fun. Tesla Cybertruck Gigafactory. So that's something more hopeful, yes. Something to look forward in the future, and something that, if the plans haven't changed, should happen fairly soon too. Like, because if you look at the timeline, if Tesla still plan to bring the Cybertruck to market by the end of 2021, they need a factory location like yesterday, and they need to start building that like, again, probably today. So what we've heard so far since the announcement was last week, or the week before that?
I mean, we've been hearing stuff about Texas kind of for a while.
Yeah. I mean, Giga Texas that Elon tweeted, that was a few months ago. And then this Central U.S. thing, scouting location in Central U.S. was announced. And when that was announced, Nashville was a bunch of sources and told different publication that they definitely in the running and even in advance talked already. So that's interesting. Now this week we saw a bunch of others raise their hands and start efforts to secure the Cybertruck Gigafactory. Missouri, is that how you pronounce that? Missouri. Joplin, Missouri, which is like a few hours, I think, southwest of St. Louis, like four or five hours. The head of the Chamber of Commerce there, Mr. Toby Teeter, already offered Tesla 100 acres in the business park and a $50+ million incentive package. So he says he's been authorized by the state or the region, or whoever's offering that package. I would assume it's the state at this kind of level, but $50+ million, which is, he didn't elaborate on what kind of form those incentives will take. Of course, it's short of the widely reported $1.2 billion in incentive that Gigafactory Nevada got. But that was, of course, that's over 20 years and whatnot, so... Maybe if he says it's an actual $50 million, that might be enough to convince Tesla. But yeah, we also saw politicians from Colorado and Arkansas reaching out to Tesla and Elon Musk with their own proposals, though there's no specifics details about those packages. Then yesterday we reported on Oklahoma. They went with their own crazy effort to grab Elon's attention to try to sell them on the land for a Gigafactory Cybertruck near Tulsa. And they built this whole meme website, basically, with trying to highlight the advantages of Oklahoma and Tulsa, and they have this 1,500-acre land that they want to offer Tesla. I mean, if you want to grab Elon's attention, memes are not a bad way.
I think they hit the nail on the head with this website. Mm. I mean, if it,
you guys can go check, yeah, if you want to go check it out, it's called bigfinfield.com. Trying not to curse on this podcast. Even if
Tesla doesn't go with Oklahoma, I imagine Elon would want to hire the guy who came up with this website. It's very tailored to Elon Musk for sure.
Yeah, you would think that he made that website, like, tried to sell himself that land.
Yeah, I mean, so the whole reason that Tesla's going out and, you know, kind of, you know, soliciting other bids, I guess, is because I believe that they're trying to get the Texas deal sweetened. You know, they can go to Texas and say, well, Missouri and Oklahoma are offering us all this other stuff. Maybe we're going to go there, and theoretically, Texas will come back and say, well, you know, we'll give you extra employment benefits and extra land and whatever. So it's kind of what he did in Nevada. I don't know if you guys remember, Nevada was kind of like, you know, always made sense. Like, it's kind of the closest to California. It had a lot of advantages.
And Texas was the other girl in this scenario too.
Right. So,
he was trying to make them jealous, like trying to make another girl jealous. Yeah, and I mean,
you know, he got a pretty good package out of Nevada, so it worked. Even so much that when Jeff Bezos was kind of shopping around his headquarters 2 thing, it was reported that he kind of took Elon's model of getting the Gigafactory 3 in Nevada and kind of used that on New York and the other places to, you know, to a lesser degree, I guess, or to a bigger degree, and it failed miserably. Versus,
yeah, whatever happened with that Amazon headquarters?
So basically, he kind of swindled the leadership in New York to giving him all kinds of benefits to moving the headquarters there, and then basically everybody in Queens was like, "Screw that! Like, we don't need to give benefits to anybody." And so Bezos pulled out of the deal, and then they've been ramping up in New York ever since. So I don't know. Like, Amazon's still in New York. Like, all the advertisers are in New York and all the ad agencies, and, you know, they have to be in New York. So they didn't really need to give Amazon a whole bunch of benefits to get Amazon to come to New York. So I don't know, whatever. I think Texas can probably play a little bit more hardball, because I think Tesla really wants to be there. They have all the SpaceX stuff, you know. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but and they've been generous to SpaceX. My understanding, SpaceX did get some decent incentives to go to Texas. Tesla might be going for more than just a financial incentive, but Tesla had some issue with direct sales and service have been fine in Texas, but direct sales in Texas. So, I think 4 or 5 times they tried to go through the state legislature. To get their a direct sale bill in place, so that it hasn't been that bad in Texas, because they've been somewhat lax in enforcing that kind of law, where it's just Tesla can still have their stores there and they can still talk to them, to the prospective buyers, and I think they can even give test drives and everything. It's just that when they actually have to do a sale, they wired it through another state, so Tesla's inside sell in Las Vegas or California. So it's not as big as an issue that it was like in Michigan, for example, where Tesla had to make those loopholes clear in the laws to be able to actually employ them. But in Texas, it's been running somewhat smoothly, but of course a clearer. A change in the law, which would make so much sense.
Yeah, so
it's kind of weird that if they use that as an incentive, like do the right thing, and we might come to your state, because it's not, they should be doing it regardless of if Tesla decides to go in Texas with Cybertruck Gigafactory or not. Right. All right, what else do we have on there? Oh, solar roof. Tesla announced, I mean, that was this weekend, really, last weekend, so we didn't talk on it last podcast, that they can produce now, or at least they could until they shut down the factory, 1,000 solar roof per week in Gigafactory in New York. I have some issues with the way they frame that, 1,000 roof per week, but what they actually achieve is 4 megawatt of solar roof tile production. So if you do 1,000, if you divide that by 1,000, that's 4 kilowatt of roofs per roof, which is not really big, especially for that kind of roof that they're going after. Like I mean, the V3 is much cheaper than previous options for sure, but it's still kind of an expensive roof, and mostly people that have like bigger homes are going to go for it, though. Or at least not necessarily bigger home, but more expensive homes, which are often bigger, because you don't put like a $50,000 roof on a $100,000 home. It doesn't make sense. So I've seen installations right now for solar roof that were 9-10 kilowatt. So saying that the average would be 4 makes no sense.
We're 13 kilowatt over here, so.
Yeah. So I think that's higher than average, 13, but even 10 is probably average, but I would probably think like 8 or something like that would make more sense. And that, let's be honest, though, that's still impressive that Tesla is making enough solar roof tile for probably like 500 homes per week. I don't think they can install that, though. So that was the main thing in my article. Like, that's nice that the production is there, but can they install that? I don't think they can right now, but I think they would be able to in the near future, because they have a giant roofer hiring effort right now going on. And we got our reports that Tesla started certifying their first third-party solar roof installers. So that's probably going to be a big boost to the solar roof installation capacity. So Tesla just certify another company and they deliver the roof to them whenever they sell one or whatever. So if they sell one, are the team just hired to install it and the sale is still done through Tesla? So Tesla is just as a contractor, like a third-party contractor, or is it like for a roofing company that generally sells roofs and they can not only install Tesla roof, but sell?
I don't know how it works. I know SolarCity has roofing capacity, like the folks that are, you know, now at Tesla, but the people who did SolarCity would bring a roofing crew with them. So theoretically, they're working in conjunction with a contractor.
Yeah, they already had that. They already had a roofing crew. They're just going to need a ton more because of solar roof tiles and its popularity. Oop. Are we still on?
Yep.
Yeah, Seth, are you there?
I don't know if you can see me, but we're good. We're good.
We're good?
Fred, we're good.
Yes. You there, Seth? Okay. Sorry. Lagged a lot for a second here. In the next few months, by the summer, I wouldn't be surprised if Tesla is at 1,000 roofs per week. That's massive. For a quarterly basis, did I do the math in that article? I believe I did. Or I did, yeah. I did not do that math. But I mean, it's basic math here. Tesla was at
4 megawatts times 50.
50. I don't want the yearly, because of course Tesla's solar business has been going down a lot since the SolarCity acquisition. They've been changing the whole business. It's been going down, and quarterly. When all the quarterly installation went all the way down to 29 megawatt at the worst, for the worst quarter, which I think was Q1 2019. And so just right now at 4 megawatts times 12 weeks, that's 48 megawatt per quarter, which would be pretty much what Tesla is installing right now with mainly just solar panels. So that would be doubling Tesla's capacity. If we do a 3,000 roof per week, in my opinion, that would be twice that per quarter. And per year, that would add up to 416 megawatt of installations. That's decent. Like, that's decent capacity. Had the solar panels, the regular solar panels to that. And I think also, tell me if you disagree with that, but I think the solar roof tiles are going to increase Tesla's solar panel sales, because I think a lot of people are going to be interested in the solar roof and be look into the solar roof and then realize, oh, actually, I don't really need a solar roof. I just really need like solar panels. That makes more sense. Because if your roof is still good for like another 10 plus years, go with the solar panels. Solar panels are going to be much more, makes more sense financially for you. I would look into that.
Yeah, they're more efficient. They're cheaper. They're easier to put on. You don't have to rip out your current roof.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Should we go to the...
what else we have this week?
To go to the questions?
Yeah, we can go to the questions.
All right.
Hi.
We're late. Yes, we are 10 minutes
late. Are they late?
Today. Yep. What will happen to GM and Ford? Will this push them to retool for EVs, or are they GG? I don't know. What do you think?
Good guys.
I don't know what GG is, but I don't know that.
Well,
I don't know that they're going to retool for EVs. It doesn't really make sense to kind of retool based on this. If they do have time, then maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, I think you should take the opportunity. If they have a few weeks off, that would be the time to do it. And I think GM is doing it right. There is a Handtrack factory that they're retooling for the no, is it the Hummer that they're building there?
They're building a lot of EVs there.
Electric pickup truck. So they want to do that. They're gonna still do that while the production is down and during the coronavirus crisis. So that's a good example. Tesla is doing it too. It's already electric vehicle production capacity that's not going from gas, but they are increasing it. So I think other automakers should take example of that.
All right, another question. Do you think the EU will not enforce the automakers to pay fines based on CO2 this year due to the virus?
I'm not exactly sure how the emissions restrictions are in place, because the emission from the fleet are going to go down because the overall sales are going to go down this year. But if it's a percentage of the sales that needs to be all electric in order to reduce the average, then yes, they should technically still enforce those. So if Daniel is saying more that, are they going to change the rule because of the virus? That would be very surprising to me.
I don't think they will change the rules. I mean, some companies like Tesla are actually depending on some money coming out of that. So it's hard to pull that at the last
second.
Not notified to start the process for my Model Y dual motor, non-performance with regular Gemini wheels yesterday. Will be my first Tesla. Very excited. Waited on VIN now. I actually, during the broadcast, looked at my account, and all of a sudden they want my registration stuff and trade-in and payment method. So I think I might be on the list. So maybe I'll have
nice
a coronavirus delivery here. Let's see. Elon is not out of his element when they need ventilators. I don't know if he knew the ventilator problem when he was tweeting. It seemed like he was kind of taken aback by it.
Yeah, he's still saying that they're going to do it, but he says they might not need it.
If he was up to date on the ventilator thing, he should have been making ventilators like 2 months ago, or at least like retooling for it. So RD says, if SpaceX were to use solar electricity to produce Starship fuel from sequestered CO2 from the atmosphere, would Electra consider covering SpaceX Starship news? Sure. we could.
Yeah, that would be a reason to
SpaceX
do it.
SpaceX stuff whenever it's related to...
Yeah.
electric transportation. And who knows, maybe we'll have a SpaceX site at some point soon. We never know. We lost a little audio. And
send your resume if you're a SpaceX nut.
All right, the best incentives with the least in friction will win the factory. Elon probably wants Texas, but there's too much friction. I agree. Like, Texas is known for not having friction, but there's...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Still
probably more friction than a place like Nevada. Another thing I think Elon appreciates is, like, Austin's kind of a, you know, research center hub. So as close to Austin you can get as possible is probably going to have a lot more... I mean, you have University of Texas there. You have a lot more... smart people. I think one of the problems with Reno is like they kind of ran out of like the smart people running around town, so they had to, you know, a lot of people are moving to Reno now, which costs Tesla a lot more money. You have a base of very intelligent people in Austin, so I think it's kind of Texas's to lose. You know, I'm not sure exactly where they're planning on putting it in relation to Austin. It can't be obviously in, you know, an inexpensive property, but I don't know. What do you think?
There's been a lot of rumors about Austin, especially since Tesla does have offices there for the chip making stuff. But I'm not sure that there's anything concrete beyond that, other than like just the fact that it wouldn't make sense, like you just said. But not anything concrete in terms of like decision negotiation with local officials or anything like that. But yeah, I think it would make sense too. I have a good feeling that it's gonna end up in Texas, to be honest. But there's so many other places that it could be too, like Tennessee, Alabama as car manufacturers, Mississippi, like all those southern states too are. They're good at securing those deals in the last
few decades. Yeah, all the German manufacturers seem to have like a manufacturing base in the South. So Jake P says Tesla will turn this year around. Will shock everybody by December. They should have already exceeded 500,000 cars delivered. That's optimistic. We'll see. Da Vinci says
by this year 500,000 car this year
for the year
that would. In 3 months, 500,000 cars?
In December. But
no.
I agree.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that would be crazy.
Da Vinci says, think he says they won't need it because companies already know how to make ventilators, are gearing up production full speed. By the time Muskie's ventilators come, there will be millions available. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that was my thought too. Like, if there's actually a need for ventilators, like GM was like, "Oh, let's do it." I feel like the actual ventilators companies are gonna be much easier for them to ramp up production than just start from scratch at a metal plant,
and the time car plant. Is not like you need to think about this stuff like 2 months ago. So it's probably not a good situation to be running into.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically it. We're at 5 o'clock and we're out of questions.
All right. Well, that's it for us this week, guys. Hopefully we're going to have a more cheerful show next week with, more news that's not related to the coronavirus. That'd be nice. Thanks a lot for watching on YouTube. You can give us a thumbs up, a subscribe. It's always appreciated. Thanks a lot for listening on your podcast app. And we're going to see you same place, same time next week. Ciao.